The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Well, it might come as a disappointment to some of you that the sermon this morning entitled Swear Words is not actually what we think of as swear words, which I think generally could go by the name of cussing. This is not a sermon about that, although perhaps we need a sermon like that. Which might happen at a later date. Not that I'm accusing any of you of cussing, but that's not what today's sermon is about, and it might come as a slight disappointment. I had one member ask me just before we processed downward, so was your sermon swear words inspired by the recent 49ers loss in the Super Bowl? And once again, I said, no, hate to disappoint you, but no, it was not. Let me start with this. Have you seen those Geico commercials that feature Pinocchio? You know the ones I'm talking about? The little wooden boy whose nose keeps on growing the more he lies. Pinocchio is featured in various settings, if you haven't seen it. One as a bad motivational speaker, another one on a date set up through a phone app. Or trying to argue his way out of a parking ticket, and, well, you can probably guess how things go for him in each of those. And what any of this has to do with insurance, I don't know. But it is entertaining to watch Pinocchio and his uneasy relationship with the truth. And it is interesting to conjecture, what if things like lying or lying under oath were as plain as the nose on your face? What if everyone told the truth all the time? What if everyone's yes meant yes and their no meant no? Honesty, trustworthiness, being people of our word, these are supposed to be marks of the Christian life. So imagine, what if nobody ever lied? What if no one ever swore a false oath? Would you find that refreshing or a bit scary? And the sad thing is, it seems like when it comes to truth-telling, we're moving just the opposite way away from that ideal. It seems like honesty, simple honesty, is becoming more of a rarity. We look for honesty in business, in our personal lives. And yet in a recent poll, about 96% of Americans admit to lying at least once in a while. And does that make you wonder about the other 4% in that poll? We watch the news. We hear people saying things under oath that we strongly suspect are lies. Stephen Duke, a professor at Yale Law School who teaches courses on criminal procedure, has this to say. He says, perjury is commonplace in America. I don't know if it was true a century ago as it is now. I imagine that back then more people believed that God punished perjury than now, when it appears that almost no one believes that. That's sad, isn't it? And that brings us to today's gospel. Verse 33. You have heard that it was said, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. Now, who could argue with that? It sounds like the epitome of common sense and morality. It even preaches well. I could say that out of context, and maybe add a catchy line like, make an oath, keep an oath. And all God's children said, amen. We would probably say that. Now, what is an oath? An oath is a public appeal to God, calling upon him to witness a statement of things past or present or future. In an oath, people call on God to avenge the truth, should it be violated, or should that future promise not be performed. This is what is meant by swearing. But there are problems with oaths. An oath appears to raise the stakes on lying, and that's why the Old Testament actually does advise the use of oaths. But an oath can actually be a cover-up. The very existence of oaths is an acknowledgement that we live in a world of lies, and we're surrounded by liars. So if you should say something like this, "Well, I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth," does that mean that we should doubt your honesty the rest of the time? That's a problem. If a person never lies, they shouldn't have to swear an oath. Here's another problem. A person can take an oath, swear an oath, and they can commit perjury. That is to purposely tell a lie under oath. Or they can limit the oath in some way. That's what the Pharisees and teachers of the law in Jesus' day were doing. If you swear by, let's say, not God himself, but if you swear by heaven or earth or Jerusalem and you lie, that's not as bad, thought the Pharisees, as dragging God's name into your lie. Therefore, they conjectured, it's allowable. There are actually some teachers of the law who taught that this was okay. They compromised the truth in their attempt to accommodate God's requirement to human sinfulness. And that's exactly the opposite effect that an oath is supposed to have, isn't it? They tried to accommodate to people's weakness. But Jesus doesn't want to accommodate to God's, doesn't want to accommodate God's requirements to people's weakness. He seeks to preach the requirements of God at their most absolute. So in one stroke, he sweeps away what sounds like common sense and proclaims something so simple that it's radical. He says, don't swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. In so many words, he's saying, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's all holy, so don't swear by any of it. That means that there's no place or time where we can get away from the requirement to be absolutely truthful. So truthful that a simple yes or no ought to be sufficient to establish the integrity of our words. Anything more, says Jesus, comes from the evil one. To use some very familiar words, God requires of us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And this requirement kills us, because no one has lived up to that perfectly. No one, of course, except Jesus, who is the truth because he is God's word. Sure, we can try to tell the truth, but because we're sinful and fallible, swearing an oath cannot do one thing to make our rendition of the truth any more complete or any purer. Can we be sure that what we say is the whole truth and nothing but the truth? We don't even know the whole truth about anything. Is our knowledge of the truth so complete that we could absolutely swear to it? And the answer is no. For example, there are cases of mistaken identity, court cases where the wrong person was convicted because the witness, whether through his or her own error or prejudice, did not tell the whole and pure truth. We say things like, I swear to God. But aren't we in danger of perjuring ourselves? Aren't those just cheap swear words? Sure, we can swear an oath to do something in the future, to perform in the future, but does our swearing actually increase its likelihood? We don't even have control over the future of our own heads, according to Jesus. We can't turn a single hair white or black, though some of us might like to try. By God, I'll do this thing. But aren't we being presumptuous when we say that? Aren't those swear words? And do we call upon ourselves a curse through our own swearing? So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, there were words spoken, powerful words. A sacred promise was given on that night. And that promise was later sealed with an oath. An oath which was then strengthened by swearing and the calling down of a curse. But I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Peter. It was he who gave Jesus a sacred promise. Though they all fall away, I will never fall away. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Like the song, which we don't sing here, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Peter gave Jesus a sacred promise. But later, while Jesus was being mocked and mistreated, he denies any knowledge of Jesus. A second time, Peter is called upon to testify to the truth. He denies knowing Jesus with an oath. An oath, says Matthew 26:72. The third time, Peter swears and calls down a curse on himself, saying, I do not know the man. You know the rest of the story. The rooster crows. Peter is exposed for the wooden man that he is. He's not so much a man as a marionette. He's being played and sifted like wheat by Satan. But thank God, there was another oath that was made that night. And this oath was made by the only one who should make oaths. This is my body, he said. This is my blood of the covenant, my blood of the oath poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. It's as if Jesus, in the words of Hebrews chapter 6, having no one greater by whom to swear, swore by himself, by his own body, by his own blood, to deal once and for all with our sins. And unlike so many human oaths, this oath came with binding power. For on the cross, the curse of the law did fall upon Jesus. Galatians 3 says, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by himself becoming a curse for us. Ultimately, it's only the oath that God makes that counts for anything. And God says, I swear by myself I'll do this. And he does. On the cross, he redeems us from our own lies, our own broken promises, and our own self-deceptions. On the cross, Jesus signs and seals and delivers God's oath to deliver us from our sins. Is the name of Jesus a swear word? Yes. But he's God's swear word, not ours. He is God's yes. And so this divine word, Jesus, God's yes, now risen from the dead, comes back to Peter. And in response to Peter's three broken oaths, he asks Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter is restored. The wooden boy becomes a real apostle, fleshed out through the very body and blood of Christ, without so much as a hint of an oath on his lips. And church tradition tells us that he made good, that he was martyred, proclaiming faith in Jesus. And God willing, that would be our story too, that we would go to our graves proclaiming Jesus' name by means of the simple word, yes. How do we become people of our word, whose yes and no is our bond? Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it best. He said, the cross is God's truth about us, and therefore it is the only power which can make us truthful. When we know the cross, we are no longer afraid of the truth. We need no more oaths to confirm the truth of our utterances, for we live in the perfect truth of God. How refreshing it is to live in a community of truth in simple, honest words. And how do we become that kind of people? by seeing ourselves in Christ crucified, in whom all our deceptive, inflated words are crucified, and in whom God has sworn his oath to us. Yes, yes, and amen.